Hello and welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onc Live On Air is the podcast companion for Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need in both digital and print formats to provide the best patient care. Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Mark Yarshwan, MD, a medical oncologist specializing in liver cancers, and an associate professor of oncology at Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Comprehensive Cancer Center. Dr. Yarshwan joins me to talk about fibrolamellar carcinoma, an extremely rare liver cancer that affects roughly 1 in every 5 million Americans. Fibrolamellar carcinoma, also known as FC, appears in teens and adults younger than 40, and unlike hepatocellular carcinoma, the disease affects people with otherwise healthy livers. There is no systemic treatment for FC, though there are a handful of ongoing clinical trials. Dr. Yarshwan, who is leading a trial exploring a peptide vaccine in combination with immune checkpoint inhibitors, speaks with us about finding research funding for such an uncommon cancer, the discovery of the driver mutation that leads to FC, and current efforts to find a treatment. So, Dr. Yarshwan, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Oh, and thanks so much for having me today.
Fibrolamellar carcinoma is a relatively new disease, and it's an extremely rare disease. So how did it catch your professional attention?
Well, I would say that it's not a new disease. It's just that we've started to recognize it. This is a cancer of usually young people, and it's a rare form of liver cancer. I am a liver cancer oncologist, and I started to see a number of patients with this cancer in my clinic, and it's a cancer that fairly little is known about, and certainly treatment options are quite limited for it. And so I thought this was a cancer that we could contribute to by focusing our efforts on it.
How often are you seeing patients with FC in the clinic?
So we have a clinical trial here at Hopkins specifically for this rare cancer. And so as a result, we are seeing a number of patients with this cancer. I think before we had a trial, this was a cancer that we would catch rarely in our practice. Although several patients came here with a different diagnosis, they came here thinking that they had the more normal type of liver cancer, HCC. And actually, when we analyzed their tumor, we realized that they had this rare form, fibrolamellar HCC. And so we believe that many cases of this cancer are actually missed in clinical practice.
What then differentiates FC from HCC?
Fibrolamellar HCC is its own distinct cancer, whereas HCC, hepatocellular carcinoma, normally occurs in older patients who have some sort of underlying liver disease like cirrhosis. Patients with fibrolamellar HCC normally have no underlying liver issues of any kind. And so that really makes this cancer unique. Patients tend to be much younger than normal HCC. Some work from Sandy Simon, whose own daughter was impacted by this cancer, discovered that this cancer has a unique driver mutation, something that makes this cancer grow, called a DNA-JB1 PRKACA fusion or rearrangement. And that seems to be a signature genetic event in this cancer. So this cancer is not only epidemiologically distinct, but also has very distinct genetics from normal HCC.
What are the typical symptoms that you see with this disease?
So again, this is normally a cancer that affects younger people, young adults, as well as children. Most of them have no underlying health issues of any kind. And so cancer is not something that tends to be on these people's radar. They tend to present with abdominal pain, sometimes bloating or enlargement of the right side of their belly where the liver is. And often these people come through like an emergency room or an urgent care and end up getting some kind of scan. And the scan often shows a large mass in the liver. And that's how they come into medical attention.
I did a search a few days ago looking for clinical trials in FC. And there's the one at Johns Hopkins that you're leading that you mentioned. And there's one other one. So do you ever get frustrated by the lack of research into FC?
This is a challenge with all rare cancers, is that because they affect fewer people, there tend to be less money spent on them, less resources available, less patient samples available for research. So I don't think this problem is unique to fibrolamellar HCC. I will say that the government has done a great job recently at recognizing the importance of rare cancers, the importance of rare cancer research, and has really dedicated more resources towards these cancers, which has been helpful. But we have a long ways to go.
How do you generate research interest and money for a disease that really affects very few patients in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, this is a major challenge. I will say that we have been the beneficiaries of cancer therapy developed for more common therapies. So, for example, we have a trial here at Hopkins that is the first of its kind for fibrolamellar HCC, but it's using an approach that has been pioneered in other cancers. And so what we're doing is really applying something specifically to fibrolamellar HCC. And I think that is something we're likely to see more of, where we understand that this is a rare cancer, but we can learn from other similar cancers and use approaches that have been successful elsewhere and apply them to our patients.
I know you are leading a study at Johns Hopkins looking at a peptide vaccine in combination with nivolumab and ipilimumab. So what can you tell us about that study, and have you seen any trends in the data that lead you anywhere?
I'm delighted to talk about our trial. I think I mentioned earlier on this discussion that patients with fibrolamellar HCC have this unique driver, this fusion event between DNAJB1 and PRKACA that was discovered by Dr. Sandy Simon and his group. And our group has become interested in targeting this genomic event using the immune system. So at any point, the immune system is constantly looking for abnormal proteins in our body, things that are different from self. That's what the immune system does. And what we have done here is create a vaccine that specifically points the immune system towards this abnormal event in fibrolamellar cancer. And we give this peptide vaccine along with two drugs that are used in many cancers, ipilimumab and nivolumab. Their brand names are Yervoy and Opdivo. And these drugs turn on the immune system sort of non-specifically. And so our hope is that the combination of a vaccine to teach the immune system what to go after, plus these two drugs, will cause these immune system to attack these tumors. You know, this is very early in our clinical trial. And just as general policy, we don't discuss results of ongoing clinical trials. But, you know, I'll say that I think that we're excited about the work that we're doing. We hope that this is helping patients, and more to come for sure.
When are you hoping to have results?
We anticipate having something to share in 2022 based on the pace of that our trial is accruing.
Since you are currently accruing for this trial, and obviously, you know, you've talked about how this is a rare disease, but ASCO especially has pushed to improve diversity and access in its clinical trials. So how do you do that when, you know, you're already dealing with a very limited patient population?
I mean, this is a huge challenge. You know, we're located here in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, one of the common criticisms that I think is appropriate is that the patients on our clinical trials don't really reflect the population of our surrounding neighborhoods. And this is not just a problem here, but nationally, we know that there is significantly lower participation of clinical trials in certain minority populations, particularly African Americans. And I think that this is a real challenge because, unfortunately, because fewer African Americans enroll on clinical trials, we have less data about whether our drugs really work in that population. I think there are real concerns that we may be treating certain populations with drugs that don't work. And so I think we have a lot of work to do to gain the trust of these communities and do outreach. You know, in the case of fibrolamellar, this is a very rare cancer. In fact, the demographics of this cancer aren't well known, and most of the patients on our trial are not coming from Baltimore, Maryland. They're coming from all over, you know, the country. And that brings up other sort of challenges. You know, we know that patients who have more resources are able to hop on a plane and come to see us the next day, and other people, it may be unaffordable participating in trials. And we're very grateful for the support that we've had from not only our patients, but from some organizations like the Ronald McDonald Organization and the Ullman House, for making these trials more feasible.
Does it fall to those types of organizations to sort of mitigate some of the financial toxicity that can come with participating in clinical trials?
I wish I could say that these organizations get rid of this entirely, but they don't. Many of our patients have major financial toxicity, and it's a real challenge for treating people with rare cancers in general.
Moving back to clinical research a little bit, you had mentioned Dr. Simon, and he and his colleagues at Rockefeller just published data showing that Topo 1 inhibitors, HDAC inhibitors, and napubucasin, a newly developed STAT3 inhibitor, show some efficacy against FC. Now, these are findings in animal models, but does this look like a promising avenue for treatment of this disease?
You know, Dr. Simon's group has done great work for this cancer. You know, first of all, identifying the signature genetic event that drives this cancer, and then most recently screening an enormous number of different drugs in an animal model of fibrolamellar cancer to really try to see which drugs might be hits. I would just caution you a little bit that many cancers have been cured in mice. Many things don't pan out when we try them in people. And so certainly can't say that these drugs will work in people, but they look promising. I think this work has given us some new targets that we need to explore in human trials.
Some data that's a little further along the line from Rush in Chicago, they just published early results of 5-FU interferon and nivolumab for relapsed refractory metastatic or unresectable FLC. Does that triplet look like it's more promising than anything we've seen so far?
One of the challenges is we have few prospective clinical trials in this cancer. And so, you know, I applaud at least the idea of doing these sort of retrospective analysis. Just to be clear, Rush did not do a clinical trial. They sort of reported on some patients who they were aware of who got this treatment. And we know that those sorts of retrospective reports can be different than prospective reports. But actually, the group at MD Anderson is formally studying this triplet in a prospective trial. And I think that will be more informative. So, you know, I think we need to get as much data as we can from each patient with this cancer, because it's so rare that all the data from every patient is valuable. And so I think we need all of the above. I think we need prospective trials, like the ones we're doing, like the one that MD Anderson is doing, and it would be great if there were more of them. And then I think we need to learn as much as possible through patient registries.
I'm going to ask you to extrapolate a little bit. There was data from COSMIC-312 showing that cabozantinib plus atezolizumab extended PFS in untreated HCC. Is it possible to extrapolate from those data to say anything about FC?
Yeah, you know, hepatocellular carcinoma has had several breakthroughs recently with the press release that durvalumab, tremelimumab is positive, the COSMIC study, bevatezo. The truth is that fibrolamellar HCC is a completely different cancer. And so just because something works in HCC really doesn't tell us much of anything for fibrolamellar HCC. These are two very different tumor types, even though they both have HCC in their name. So I wouldn't recommend that patients start using cabo plus atezo for this cancer.
Just to close it out, in a very broad sense, what data is there that you're looking forward to seeing reported about FC?
I think we don't have a true standard of care treatment for this cancer. And so what I would love to see reported are, you know, true comparisons of some of the approaches that have been tried. We know many patients receive cytotoxic chemotherapies like platinum-based doublets for this cancer. We know that many patients are receiving 5-FU plus interferon for this cancer. Some patients are receiving drugs that were developed for HCC, like lenvatinib, like immune checkpoint inhibitors. And it would be great to get more retrospective data, really understanding which therapies are benefiting the most patients. But, you know, most importantly, I'm excited that there seems to be more interest in this cancer. We have a number of new leads for potential drug targets, many of which Dr. Sandy Simon's group has identified. I think it would be great to see some additional prospective trials in reputable groups really developing new treatments for this cancer. And I'm hopeful that we're going to see this in the not distant future.
That's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Mark Yarshuan, and thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.